Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's
number one
arts and culture podcast.
With Kate Rhodes.
And Maysoon Wawa-Waz. Wawa-Waz.
Kate.
And Maysoon Waz-Waz.
There you go. Good job.
So last week we broached the topic of authenticity. A very abstract concept.
Yeah, I guess it just made me think about sort of the conversation of artists who are really good at marketing themselves and marketing their work and their, you know, which is something people talk about all the time, you know, whether or not someone's just like playing into the market. Like they understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They understand
yeah.
what's going to sell, so they're just going to make work like that.
Oh, yeah.
And just sort of like.
Oh, yeah. That comes up all the time. And I never understand it.
Yeah. So
I
that work, in my mind, isn't necessarily authentic, right?
To the Well, but how do we know?
Right.
Like, how do we know that that's just not their heart song? It's to make some fucking zombie abstraction.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
You know? That's what I don't get. Like, maybe it just so, I don't know. But then would everybody be making it? Would there be so much abstraction that looks good with a couch? You know what I mean?
Is there a formula to abstraction that looks good with a couch?
Neutral colors.
Neutral colors.
Neutral colors.
Neutral content.
Keep it kind of middle to high key. Dark. I actually had a painting teacher in college who would.
Really?
Who would tell us, like, you know, dark paintings don't sell.
I love dark paintings.
You know, you want
someone make me a all black
mid-size
painting.
Reddish.
Shut up, really?
Yeah,
reddish.
People don't like to buy paintings of people they don't know. You know, that's what he would tell us.
That's some bullshit.
I just would like to for people to give a lot more specific, concrete examples when they're calling out, like Kenneth Baker came and talked to my grad class. He came and spoke to us, and that's one of the things he called out was how shitty the Whitney Biennial was, which is like, who gives a shit? Why are you coming to Oakland and talking to us about the fucking Whitney Biennial? Anyhow.
Because everyone in your class probably aspires to be in that someday.
And what are the chances of that?
Well, probably very small. 0.0001.
Maybe. So, but everybody bitches about it, about how much it sucks. Everybody loves to do that. Every 2 years. Anyhow, that was one of the main complaints about it, was that it's so obviously driven by the market. But, like, what does that look like? I don't know. Call in, listeners. This is just an ongoing paradox
of
the art
world. What do you think about authenticity?
It's like, there. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because, like, you can be authentic. I don't know. I don't believe in the whole authentic, inauthentic thing. I don't think anybody can come from a totally pure place, as Jenny Ottinger, I think, once said.
Did she once say that?
Yeah, well, just that no one's intentions can ever be completely one-dimensional.
Yeah.
But I feel like you could make work that is just as careerist, that's not sellable at all, but might appeal to, like, an academic audience.
Right.
And then, you know, it's still, like, it's still serving you in that it might help you get a teaching job, or it might get art historians to write about you, or it mm-hmm. might get you in some kind of, you know, a museum show or
right.
something.
Right, so you get the attention that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not necessarily.
But it's not that you're just going to sell the work, yeah. I don't know if that, I don't know if one of those roads might be a little harder to figure out than the other of how to make that kind of work. But anyhow, what do you think, listeners? Because this is one of those art puzzles that I still don't quite understand. When people say, oh, well, that they're just making work to sell. I can't always picture exactly what that work looks like. What do you think about it, listeners? Let us know. Give us a call, 419-351-6606, or tweet in.
No.
We still can't say tweet, even though you now have a Twitter account. Send the Birdman at Pine Tree Podcast. Did I say 419-351-6606?
You did. Stop sending out your number to everyone.
And he had Gallagher on the show, who is the opposite. And he's a showman, and he appeals to the lowest common denominator and hits watermelons with a mallet. Gallagher got so offended that he thought Marc Maron was making fun of him or something.
You're just arguing with me. I have 30 years of experience.
Well, then tell me about comedy. I just think that show business is show business.
Well, then just why don't you do the interview and tell people your opinion?
We were having a good conversation. Oh, come on, Gallagher.
That he walked out of the interview. He left.
Really?
And it was a big deal. It was one of the best episodes of the show. Anyhow, that's what I think it would be like for us to interview Alan Baumberger.
Well, I think I might be the one who walks out of there. Would that be weird?
I just want to know about the pinky cam. It's just another
What
weird,
do you mean?
It's just another strange.
The pinky cam is so straightforward. He's trying to show you scale. What else do you need to know
but
about
how
that?
How big? We talked about this last time. We talked
how big
about
is
it on
his
the
pinky?
Show. How big is his pinky? That's not a regular, you know, if you showed a quarter, all quarters are the same size.
I see.
Pinkies could be any fucking
no,
size.
No, they're all basically.
They could be huge. They could be tiny.
No, there aren't any huge fucking pinkies out there.
You're telling me that Shaquille O'Neal's pinky is the
That's
same
right,
size.
That's right, as mine. Shaquille O'Neal and I have the exact same pinkies.
Okay.
I'm
I think
serious,
that's as much
Kate.
Time as we can allot to that topic. We're here in Oakland, California, talking to Eleanor Hansen-Wise and Oliver Wise, otherwise known as The Present Group. You also, I know you from the Compensation Foundation, which we've talked about actually a lot on the podcast. But that's, there's many individuals involved with that, right?
Yeah. The Compensation Foundation was started with Helena Keefe. Oliver and I worked with her mostly. But it was sort of formed. We had an advisory committee and we had a group, like a focus group of artists that helped sort of form what we were, what kind of information we were gathering.
Could you talk a little bit about what is the Compensation Foundation?
The Compensation Foundation right now is just a survey, an online survey gathering how visual artists are compensated in the Bay Area. And it's also going to be an interactive visualization platform for sort of figuring out and looking at what the results of the survey are.
We're not only recording like financial compensation, but we're trying to collect information about like non-monetary compensation. So, and then we also have like positive non-monetary compensation, like, you know,
materials.
Increased, yeah, materials or, but just, or even things like increased exposure or, you know, led to a new opportunity or.
Hugs.
Yeah, hugs, love and hugs, or technical expertise or something. And then we have negative compensation, which are sort of just like hurdles. We call them hurdles. So, like, they broke my stuff, or their general incompetence is one of them that seems to be high.
really?
What are some?
Yeah, that's...
Right now, that's the highest negative non-monetary compensation.
Wow.
Is general incompetence. But it's still pretty low. It's like... averages, like, people move the slider to the four out of ten, you know, whereas like love and hugs is like off the charts.
Sorry, that's I'm only surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised. I'm general incompetent. That seems so harsh. But
some of the paper surveys, people elaborate a little bit more than the online. So I think some of the things that fall into general incompetence are like, they don't respond to my emails. They, you know, they're understaffed. They're underfunded. You know, it's in general, it's hard to work with them.
As opposed to like everybody that works there lost keys to the front door or something.
Yeah, or they're just sitting around like scratching their ass. I don't know. I'm sort of like, what do you mean by incompetence?
I mean, I think some of it is like they broke my stuff or they... just never responded to emails and then wanted my work in a day or that kind of thing.
Well, so I've heard you present this project, Eleanor, like three times, I think, because I came to the Art and Labor Practicum. That's where you launched it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And Oliver, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then a couple other times I've, you know, because you guys have been having potlucks. Those are still going on, right, where you have people come and fill out surveys and eat food and stuff.
Yes, those are still happening.
And we'll have a link to all the schedule for that in the underworld, except maybe are only the private ones left.
Yes.
No link to that in the underworld.
Currently. But, you know, we're still. Yes, if you would like to host a potluck, please host a potluck.
It's fun. It's just a lot of awkward artists.
It's great. It's a great time, and we'll provide wine.
How's the reception been? Like, how have people been responding to the project?
The only gauge that we really have for the reception is the number of people that are filling it out, and that has been slow. I mean, we have about 400 interactions reported, which is great, but we're really hoping to get at least 1,000 because we feel like at that point it's going to be a robust enough data pool that it will be a fair picture to represent what's happening in the area. It's hard to get people to fill out surveys, especially when there's no reason that they have to do it. So that's, you know, a challenge.
People you talk to are excited about it. I mean, you know, on the personal level, people seem to be excited about it, or some segment of the population.
Well, it seems like there would be a goal to sort of change the way artists are compensated based on this information that you're collecting. So that to me seems like a great incentive, actually.
Or to warn artists that places are weird and creepy.
Yeah, the biggest thing that we keep coming back to is it's really a tool for self-advocacy. So if you are, you know, at a place where you are ready to start asking for compensation for what you do, it's good to know what a reasonable thing to ask for is, and it's good to know what that venue has how that venue has compensated other people in the past.
Point to other examples of, you know, other places compensating people and whatever the standard is.
Have you had any feedback from organizations, institutions?
We haven't had any negative feedback, which is great, but we have had some silence.
Yeah, I could see how that could impact an organization if you're compiling this data that ultimately might go against them looking like a competent institution, which is okay, but it's just sort of like I could see that causing some
friction.
And some of what we've just recently been talking about how we are the people that have to do this because we're not so, I mean, we know people in the art world, but we're not so embedded in the art world that
we're not really artists who are trying to get shows at these places, and we don't work at an arts organization. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Taking one for the team.
Yeah. I mean, we are not trying to just like cause friction, but in some ways, some friction might be good for everyone.
Yes.
You know, a little friction is enjoyable, right?
I think it is hard for, I don't know, I think it's good that artists have a way to anonymously put this information out there because sometimes it's kind of hard to communicate about shit like this with other people in a frank way. It's a fun survey to fill out.
Yeah, we tried to make it fun, you know?
So you guys also have the present group, and you guys, do you still do your award?
We do. The present prize?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Present prize is funded by web hosting fees, and we give it out about every year and a half, and all the nominations for the prize, we pick a theme, and then we get nominations from all our hostees, and then...
And you guys do web hosting for artists, right?
Oh, yeah. So that's where it all starts. We host their websites. They pay us $84 a year, and $24 of that goes into the prize. So, like, it ends up being, like, around $1,200, $1,500 when we do it. And so all the hosties, the people who are paying into this, they nominate within the theme. So then we have this big pool of, like, 30 people, or I don't even know. And then we let the public narrow down that pool. So then there's like...
In matchups.
Oh, yeah.
In one-on-one matchups.
That's right, yeah. We have... So
like face-offs?
We didn't want it to be like a popularity contest where people just say, go here and vote for me, because then it's just like whoever, mm-hmm. you know. So instead, when you get to the site, it just shows you two at a time, and you say, I like this one more, this one more. So that way, it sort of waters down the popularity effect.
Do you guys make music?
Used to be in a band called Pants, 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 which you can find online.
Both of you together.
No, well, I would have a cameo here and there, but in general, I was not a major player.
Yeah, what would you yell? You would come on stage and yell something every time.
Squeeze it.
Squeeze it. Well, I just really hope everybody fills out the survey because it's really fun. It doesn't take much time, and it's a chance to vent your happiness or your anger about whatever the fuck's happening to you as an artist. God damn it. Thank you guys so much for meeting with us at this late hour in your own lovely home. And most of all,
congratulations.
I'm a new kind of woman. I'm a new kind of woman. I'm a don't take shit from new kind of woman. So buckle up, because we're going to move fast. Driving through things that you got to get past. Buckle up and I buckle up tight. Hear a scream, hear a sound in the dark of the night. But right or wrong, I'm a new kind of killer. Right or wrong, we're a killer.
Well, over the weekend, I went to CCA's Open Studios.
Thanks for letting me know.
Do you ever go to that?
Yes, I have gone.
Yeah. So you know. I mean, I'm sure it was just like any MFA open studio. So many people.
But it's actually, I mean, I kind of prefer it over the opening sometimes. Like the grad shows. It's just less crowded.
That's true. It was pretty crowded. It was a lot more crowded than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like the only other MFA open studios I've been to here are Berkeley and Mills. And that's like
the smallest.
No one
goes.
So it was, I don't know. I got a little bit stressed out and a little bit.
That's not surprising coming from
you. It's just so intense. How can there be so many people? What are we doing, people?
70 people in their grad program?
This is when I start to feel like every artist just needs to pair up with another artist. So we just half it. We're just cut it in half. Find another artist that's doing what you're doing. You know that we all have somebody out there who's doing the same shit we are. Pair up with them. You just divided how many entities there are trying to do this shit. You just halved it. You just divided it in half. Because we'll just become one. Find your art partner. Pair up. This is how we're going to do it.
That's depressing.
Why is that depressing? I think it's hopeful.
Oh. Did you find your art partner?
I feel like there's many people that I could partner with.
This is probably someone you'd have to like live with.
I don't know. You wouldn't have to live with them.
I mean, how can they be doing the same thing as you? That they have the same experiences. It's like seems so weird.
Everyone has somebody that's doing the same exact fucking thing.
I don't
thing.
Believe it.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
God, yes.
Examples? Give me some examples here. I don't believe you. I don't think that's right.
Well, you know Derek Fretch's site, Who Wore It Best?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's just same, same, same. Who were those two artists that taught together at Berkeley? They, like, taught as a unit.
Not Amy and Michael?
No, but they count. Michael Swain and Amy. Franceschini. You got Alora and Casadia. You got Marina Branham.
Castaneda Ryman.
Right? Yeah, that's who.
Castaneda Ryman. Brody Ryman, and I forgot Castaneda's first name.
Yep. Those two. You got fucking Marina Abramovic and Ulai before she jumped ship and
before
did her own thing. See, that's what we need to be doing.
But those are collaboratives.
Let's divide
that's
this
not
field,
like,
man.
That's not like, hey, someone from, you think just within the, in amidst the
I
Bay
feel
Area,
like
there's another
like
person like
10
you?
10 people that have had their MFA in the last couple years that are doing just the same shit as me.
Who?
I mean, not the exact same, making the
people
same shit.
People who you want to pair up with.
Totally.
Let go of your personal, your individual identity as an artist.
If anybody wants to pair up with me, just give me an email.
What are the terms?
I'd love to not be alone in the studio. I get really lonely.
Oh,
I start texting
God.
People that I haven't talked to in years.
You do?
Think about it, people. We got to start working against this individualistic culture. You know? Individualism is so 1900s. Okay? It's all about collectivity and collaboration now. Comments from a listener who also happens to be my brother. You're the number one Bay Area Arts and Culture podcast, but you don't discuss any other aspect of culture besides art. Like the written word.
Aww.
Or poetry or video games.
What's your brother's name?
Skid.
Skid. S-K-I-D?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Skid, this is Mason speaking, not your sister Kate, obviously. I would have to agree with you on that, and I think it's something Kate and I are trying to branch out of, but the reality is that we're both so deeply entrenched in the visual arts particular scene or world here in the Bay Area, so that's tends to be the easiest thing for us to talk about.
I think the fact that we call it the number one arts and culture podcast is kind of quixotic.
But yes, I like
we're
the trying. Comment.
We're doing our best.
We did interview.
It's all about the interviews.
Veronica Graham,
interview.
Who's doing some video gaming. So why don't you listen back,
man? Just re-listen to that over
and
over again.
Just go back a few episodes, buddy. Just kidding.
He thought it would be interesting to create a video game art show. There have been those. Those have existed. Actually, the San Jose Museum of Art has some pretty excellent weird art video games, including ones where there was one that was a video game where you are all the like people that were tortured in Greek mythology, like Sisyphus and Prometheus, and mm-hmm. the game is just you trying to roll the rock up the hill and then it rolls back down again, or like you like getting the bird to stop eating your liver and then the bird just comes right back.
Oh, no.
I'll put a link to that in the underworld. Nate Boyce has a show over at Yerba Buena.
It's called Polyscroll.
I liked it.
I loved it.
It's fucking weird. I
thought it was great.
I felt like I was on acid.
It was a series of, I think, 4 videos displayed on...
Is it 4 or 5?
I think it's 4.
There was a few.
There's a number of,
videos
on large monitors in a vertical orientation. So the monitors are turned sideways, which I thought was interesting.
I always love when they do that.
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual, a little off kilter.
It's artsy. And they're scrolling graphics, like computer generated graphics that look super glitchy, and some of it includes like hand drawn, but hand drawn on a computer, like weird designs and stuff that like glitch out, and some of it's 3-dimensional, and then some of it's like printed with drawings. It's just really fucked up.
And then there's the object that's kind of scrolling through the videos, or the multiple videos that are, it's kind of this weird metallic metal.
Oh yeah, the sculptures.
Sculptural objects.
Get a friend. Make a friend who's a preparator there, and they can get you in for free.
You might be able to go up there for free anyhow if you just sneak upstairs.
But how?
Just walk in and walk up the stairs.
Go to the bathroom. And then, no, some of those ticket sales people are a little
Can
grouchy.
Can you please redact that? We cannot be talking about how to break into your robot.
I like it. Should I not? Okay.
We're just kidding, people. Of course you should pay to go.
Anthony DeCenza has a show over at Et Al. I love it. I don't understand it. I didn't read the text. I love Anthony DeCenza. He also has a piece over at Catherine Clark. I don't know if it's still up, but that was one of my favorite pieces I've seen in a while. Where it was just an empty platform, like mm-hmm. a pedestal where a sculpture would be, mm-hmm. spotlit.
Oh, yeah, that's
with
right.
those little barriers around it, like at a museum, so you don't walk
those
into it.
Those are called stanchions.
Even when they're short?
Oh, the little short with wire going
yeah,
from
yeah.
one?
Is think, that still a stanchion?
I don't know.
I don't know
I
anything
would
about
so,
stanchions.
But...
With audio of a male voice and a female voice talking about the sculpture that isn't there. And apparently, I think
Classic.
I talked to Catherine Clark when I went to see this show.
Oh, and people were confused about the piece
and
or thought it was stolen.
And she said that people
or...
always thought it was really stolen.
That's people so funny because they would remove it. They would just leave the stolen aftermath, or maybe they would.
I don't know. Or maybe they were thinking that it's meant to look as though the piece was stolen.
Well, to some degree, it probably does look like.
I mean, that was the intention. Like,
right.
That was Anthony DeCenza's intention.
Was it Anthony DeCenza? Tell us. Was that your intention?
Call in Anthony DeCenza. 419-351-6606. Codes of kindness.
Yeah, where'd this come from?
Codes of kindness in the art world.
Why did this come up?
I don't know. Maybe because I just went to that open studios at CCA.
And were people unkind?
Every time I go to an art school, it's not that they're unkind. Maybe this is all projection on my part because I have a lot of inferiority complexes or whatever. also maybe we could just have a code of kindness.
Oh, God.
Where we're just nice. I feel like that's another cliche of the art world is that everyone's kind of mean. You go into a gallery, there's some young person there at the counter that goes up above their head so you can't make eye contact with them.
That's the one thing that really worries me. Why about galleries.
That? Is it to hide them? Why? Especially,
you go into Haynes Gallery and they have this great, you know, reception desk. But then the person's like, you have down to literally underneath. Stand and look below, look down on them. Which I just don't get. It's like, come on now.
I think it's to hide them so you can look at the work without feeling like someone's looking at you. Get back to us, gallery people.
Yeah, tell
Explain
us.
That.
Joanne, call in and tell us what that's about.
Haynes Gallery, I've never had a bad experience. But there are other places where I feel like people can
But they
be,
don't say hi at Haynes either.
People can be a little mean sometimes. And how about we just
mean.
Have...
I think they're just dismissive
Let's just
unfriendly.
Have a code of kindness. This is my theory on why that is. People go into art because they're weird, angsty teenagers. Who feel like they don't fit in, so they spend a lot of time by themselves drawing pictures in their notebook. And then finally you find other people like you, and you can be the mean person. And you can be the bully. You can bully the bullies. Let's stop the chain of violence.
That's so sad.
Do you think that's true?
I think artists, I'm not artists, but I think people who come off as being unkind are really just misunderstood.
Like shy.
They're just shy.
Socially
and
awkward.
Weirdos. You know, it's like one of my best friends is like has been called a bitch for like so many years of her life because she comes off as being, you know, unfriendly, but really she's just a total fucking social weirdo. She's probably listening to this. You know I love you and we've talked about this before. And I think you're perfect the way you are.
Aww.
And not a bitch.
Codes of kindness, people. It's hard to protect your ego.
I think it's just different. Like if we're talking about people who are working at a gallery, that's a really different environment than if we're talking about like going to the CCA Open Studios and being in someone's studio where their work is on view for you to critique it and look at it and pass all this judgment on it, potentially. That's intense. Like,
oh,
those,
definitely. No, I'm not even talking really about the artists. I'm not even really talking about the artists like in their studios. I mean the other people. I mean, like, why is it always our first thing to go into some place where we see art and make some derisive comment? Not that everybody's doing that, of course.
Kate, you're such a jerk.
What? Do you think I'm doing that?
Do you?
No,
I'm saying.
No, but I feel like I try.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah,
about this
I try not
day,
to
actually.
Do that, but I have a lot of people in my life who somebody just discovered Frank Stella in a textbook yesterday. You know what I mean? Like shit like that.
That's insecurity to me. That's,
you think,
that
or is it
is...
kind of like, I don't know. I think sometimes we always forget that there's somebody on the other end of that painting or soft sculpture or performance video.
Let's not forget, people.
There's a human being on the other side of that. And it's not hurting you. It's not asking you for anything. You know? Just because you're not like tearing it apart doesn't mean that it's all of a sudden going to like find its way into your house on your wall for the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like I have my times where I can be hateful too. If you're in a school setting, I don't feel like you should be too much of a softball in critiques or anything. I just mean more in a social sense. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that we should always take it easier, not be critical or anything like that, or like anything that you can make goes. I'm not saying anything goes.
Yeah, but if that's the only thing you have to offer, like why not actually
some
offer
comments.
Some like critical, you know, more... critical feedback versus just like, this sucks.
Morrissey says, it's easy to laugh and hate. It takes courage to be gentle and kind.
What are some ways we can be kind?
I don't know. I've been thinking about doing a project where I have, where I orchestrate resensitization training for artists. But then I was thinking maybe this could be good for other people too, like police officers.
Like everyone needs to be resensitized.
I think it should be taught by children.
Oh,
right?
God, I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. If you want to work on this project with me and be my art partner, or maybe you could team up and we could have an art trio or 4-0 or 5-0. Down with the 5-0. But if you want to work on that with me, let me know. But that's another
idea.
One where that could be like really easy to make fun of. A resensitization art project.
So
it would
what?
Be so sweet.
Who cares?
I think I'd have to give people ecstasy and right at the peak of their rolling.
With the children? I
don't know. They would have to be like in a room where like Sesame Street re-explains art to them while they're on ecstasy. It's so easy to laugh, it's so easy to hate. It takes strength to be gentle and kind. Over, 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 over. It's so easy to laugh, it's so easy to hate. It takes guts to be gentle and kind.
Redacted. Jesus Christ.
I would like to redact everything we've said.
No, seriously, redact it.
Maysoon redacts everything she said.
No, really redact it.
Thank you so much, listeners. Keep writing in and calling in. I say keep as if you have already been doing that and you haven't. So please start doing that.
Go to hell, but we'd love you.
419-351-6606 or on the Bluebirds Jamboree at Pine Tree Podcast. Have a great week. Let us know what you're doing. Is that the next? Is there more February left? When's the next episode up?
This is it. This is it.
This is the last one of February. Really? Damn, it's true.
Have a
good end of February. It's a short ass month, I'll tell you what. Anyhow, shout out to Julia Goodman.
Julia.
Thank you for your beautiful letter.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, we're also, P.S. Research Assistant Katie Kondo's birthday is on March 3rd, which is Tuesday, March 3rd. If you want to send anything or have a little extra special birthday thank you to the real person that really puts this show together. Me and Maysoon have nothing to do with it. It's all Katie Kondo, Research Assistant Extraordinaire.
Kate's going to redact all
she
that.
She doesn't want You're credit for that, shit. I think. Anyhow.
Keep dreaming into the moonlight, listeners.